say that again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sure you want to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
Welcome to today's School of Prayer, and we are going to continue praying in a moment. But as is usual, we take a moment to study. It's a school, all right? It's a school. We learn. That's why we do so much of talking. All right, so it is cool. And because of that, we first take our declaration of understanding, which is one thing we do every time we want to study. Are we ready for that? Now please say it like you are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
If you say it with confidence, it will reflect in what you will hear today. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I want to let's go then. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I've been filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats. We are going to continue as far as to finish what we were doing last time concerning the disciplines of the thirsty soul, which I said to us that my brethren and us were praying at the beginning of the year, and I believe it's one of the words that the Lord gave to us. And I just felt that we should share it in this house also. Those disciplines of the thirsty soul, the disciplines of a thirsty soul. That is what God does. There's a way God relates with us. He will come and say, what do you want me to do for you? It's very important you bear that in mind. The Lord will say, what do you want me to do for you? Now, that statement, I can assure you, is a very deep one. What do you want me to do for you? Because you see, it's what you pursue that God will eventually fulfill. Now, let me explain that. I don't mean that if you decide that I want to have a Rolls Royce, 50 houses, and this and that, God will just do it. And that's all. To make the right requests before God is an art that you have to learn. It's a skill you have to learn. Where do you learn it from? The scriptures. Please, let's not forget, God came to Solomon, asked me for anything. Now, there's a lesson there for us. We know what Solomon asked for. Then God gave a small lecture for us to learn from. He said, because you did not ask for this and that and that. Ha. Now, wow. And the Lord was what? Impressed. What does that tell us? Many things we ask for, they don't impress the Lord. Many times we ask God for things and He's not impressed. Next point, the fact that He grants something you asked for does not mean it impressed Him. Sometimes it's just a, maybe like should I use the word vow, a promise He has made that asks for anything. Then you ask for that which will not bless you and He will still give you. And He will wish you had not asked for it. So we know that from scriptures, that they lusted in the wilderness. They asked for what? Meat. According to their lust. He gave them meat, but unfortunately, that one sent what? Leanness or sickness, weakness, tiredness into their souls. Now, next point. Everything you receive has some things attached. Even if you did not intend for those attachments, they come. I hope you're getting my point. Unfortunately, many people ask for things that they don't know those things that are attached. They don't know the attachment. That's part of the problem. You ask for things, you don't know the attachment. And many times in life, when you start enjoying the attachment, can I use the expression? Should I use enjoying or suffering? When you start experiencing the attachment, okay, let's put it like that. Now say, why is this happening to me? And the Lord says, but this was what you asked for. Say, I never did it. Wait. This all goes with what you asked for. Lord, I don't want that one. Say no. Whatever God has joined together, I already joined that together. So when you're in the wilderness, eat manna. Now, let me drop a small aside. You have to train yourself to enjoy what is good. That's life. You have to train yourself to enjoy what is good. Please, we normally do a small chat before we get into the main teaching. The main prayer for the day. The prayer we're having is on that seven disciplines of the dedications, yes, of the festive soul, the seven dedications. Yeah. We're going to get back to it. I'm just trying to charge us with what we do with prayer. Is that okay? You have to train yourself to enjoy what is truly good. Now, you're a child of God, amen? Emphasis on child. That's the reason why I want to emphasize that child. Do you know that children are trained in what they should enjoy? You serve them food. Mommy, I don't like this one. Say, eat it. It is good for you. They will not put your mouth. Very nice, very nice, very nice. Sweet, 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 sweet. It's not sweet. You know it's not sweet. But you know it's good. You persuade the child to eat it. And after the child has eaten that long enough, then the soul is conditioned to perceive it as tasty. Once we went to Ghana. And then we stopped somewhere to eat. With our Ghanaian host and everybody, we enter one restaurant. So we ate the normal things. There was one particular meal. There was one guy that was like our guide, you know. So we talked. It was very, you know, helped us a lot. So you could ask him questions. When the moment he entered that restaurant, that was what he ordered. People were ordering it. It was the soup. You know what you and I call soup? In that case, it was raw pepper and raw tomato. Oh, some of you have seen it. Raw. They just pound the thing, blend it, mix it, and all that. They don't cook it. Look, it's not the food itself. It's the joy in that guy's face. When they served him, the way he went into it. I asked him, what is that? I laughed like as if you don't know anything. You're missing something. We are both Africans. But I was not trained to eat like that. There's no way you tell me that thing tastes nice. All my life I've eaten, but there was one, this Indian, a Pakistani, young man and young woman, they are brother and sister, or they're twins or something, I think they're even twins. Brother and sister. My wife and I still remember them a few days ago. Once it was one of those their festivals, so they brought us food. So they brought one big bowl of what they call salad. From Pakistan. When they left, my wife put oil on the fire and fried everything. It was raw tomato, raw pepper, raw onion, cut in large chunks. Yes, and we're supposed to eat it like that. They say salad. Oh, we thank them. We thank them very well. We thank them very well. My wife said, nah, this one has stew. She just put... I'm not kidding. She put oil on the fire. When the oil was hot, she chopped it somewhere and poured it inside. He said, I beg, this is how we eat this kind of thing. We were the brother out of honor. Hey, Oga, please, oh, we brought you something. You train. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
They've been trained to enjoy it. I wasn't trained to enjoy it. Of course, the best example for me is beer. You know beer, lager. One of my colleagues finally explained to me a few years ago on what my problem was. Because I never could understand until he explained it why people drank beer. Especially those ones that are very, very, very popular. If they mention one big name, Sazenbrau, Heineken, you know, that kind of thing. So you think that there must be something in it. I've gone there to say, please, who's more here? I tasted it. All of them tasted. I'm sorry, please, if you're a beer drinker, no disrespect meant. Please, I'm so sorry, I'm just trying to preach. All of them tasted as foul as all the other ones. Yes, I thought, personally, I think, now, please, like I said, please, if you are from Germany, if you're listening from Germany, where they drink beer like water, even bishops, pastors, everybody drink beer there. In fact, angels come there to drink, so I don't. Don't be angry with me. I tasted the stuff, and I said, why do you guys drink this? So my guy answered me that day. He said, Oga, listen to this. It's a taste you learn. He said, you did not learn it at the proper time. I said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but God sent you to come and help me. That was when my confusion disappeared. Because up to that time, I used to wonder, is there something wrong with my tongue? The guy said, no, you're supposed to learn the taste. Why do I talk about this? Do you know you can learn what to enjoy? I've seen people tell me before that you like listening to messages. I like listening to messages. Who told you that? As if we are not like you. It's not a father like you. You like listening to messages. We would like to watch African magic. As if it's a genetic issue. One of your genes is listen to teaching. Brethren, there's no gene in it. It's a habit God helped me to form long ago. It's a habit God helped me to form long ago. Some of the preachers I listen to, other people will consider them boring. Even me, I'll tell you, this man is not interesting. I'm telling you, he's not an interesting preacher. But I'll do 5 hours listening to him. And I'll say that, he's not an interesting person, sha. Then I'll take another 5 hours and go through it. He's not very interesting. I do another 10 hours. See, there are preachers you listen to, you will laugh. You will have fun. Some people guys are listening to, am I like the reference? Talks like King Charles. They are from the same family as far as I'm concerned. Very proper, very conservative. But if I'm to estimate how many hours I spent on Derek Prince in my life, I will count it in thousands. And that is not exaggerated. I will literally count it in thousands of hours. And please, I am not exaggerating. My wife can bear witness to that. She wakes up during the night in the room. He's playing. I tell her, please start my car for me. He starts playing. It's a habit you form. You form habits of what is good deliberately. Long ago, I read a book in which a man was training women on how to enjoy football. Now, you see, it was a novel, but he said something which I never forgot. I read that thing more than 30 years ago. What was his own logic? He said that a lot of women, they don't get along well with their... because the husband spends a lot of time in sports. So he wanted to help them to bond with their husbands. So, I will help you to enjoy football. Well, of course, the way he did it was very simple. We all understand that. The simple thing he just did was that he would just explain you, like, you know, golf. Golf was a game I never understood. Until one guy just, in 5 minutes, he explained to me what it's all about. And the next time I read that Tiger Woods did something, suddenly it made sense. Because he just sat down, he showed me the objective. That the aim is to kick. Now, in case I'm wrong, please don't say, that's not the truth, but you get my point. I just want to explain something to you. That the aim is to get that ball into that hole. And that hole is very far away from you. The fewer the shots you used to get it in, the better you are. Oh, for the first time I understood what they call hole in one. When they now talk about hole in one, it makes sense to me. Where am I going? People learn to enjoy a game. Football, soccer. There was a time I deliberately told myself I won't do football again. I was growing up as a young person, of course, all of us are doing football. Then one day I realized I reacted badly to it. So before I die, before my time, I just made up my mind. So you are playing the hottest match in the world in front of me. I can get up, leave the place to go and fry an egg. And I won't feel anything. You need to train yourself in what to enjoy. Train yourself to sit down. You be deliberate. You know, some people can't sit down for 1 hour and listen to something. Train yourself to sit down. Train yourself to read and enjoy reading. Social media has collected things, time from us. Train yourself so that when you pick up your device, first thing you want to do is to listen to a podcast that's teaching. You want to read something. You connect with things that pour substance into your spirit. Train yourself, please, women, listen to this. Both men and women, but just more important with women. When it comes to gifts also, train yourself in the kind of gifts you appreciate. Do you follow my point? Somebody buys you an expensive book. Don't look at him like, When he buys jewelry. Tell yourself the book is more valuable. I'm serious. Train yourself in what to appreciate. Somebody gives you an opportunity, enter a place, pick anything. The phone you are using is not just a year and a half old. Then they release a new one, and you want the new one. Your head needs proper adjustment. It needs wheel balancing. Some people don't know that thing. These guys are making phones every year. You know why they make phones every year? Because they are publicly quoted companies. They have to report increase in sales, growth. They are under pressure to save Satan. So you pick up the iPhone 15 Pro and the iPhone, which one is the reigning one? Is the new one 16? Whatever. Pick up 15, pick up 16. The truth? Next to no difference. You just put one color, you put something and then hype it for you. They put features in it that you don't need. You don't know how to use. You don't know the significance. And they'll tell you to trade in the old one. Because we are preaching, I don't want to go into some things. Train yourself to say no. Train yourself to say no. So this one is good. It's just a year old. Now, I don't need another one yet. Even if they offered it to you free. Maybe next year. Train yourself to appreciate things that are excellent. You know why I'm saying this? Because one day, that's where we began from, God will give you the opportunity to ask me for anything. And what you ask for, if it is vain, vanity will follow you. You will become vain. If God comes to you, Solomon, you are modern day Solomon, ask me for anything. I say, let my enemies live long so that they will see what I will be in the future. That's what you're asking for. Say, God, give me more to give. God will give you everything. The way you have asked, then after a year or two, you will realize you asked for vanity. God comes to you now and says, ask me for anything. Tell the Lord, when? Must it be now? Say, what do you say? Say, give me 3 months. Let me consult my brethren. Not a joke. Now, this is a negative one that happened in scripture, but it will show you something. It's negative. Are you getting my point? But you see the principle in it. When Herod promised the daughter, ask me for anything, and said in front of everybody, up to half of my kingdom. No, she didn't say anything. She went to ask her mother, what should I ask for? Now, the negative side is that's how John the Baptist died. And the woman asked for what? Now, listen to this. And I'm going to talk about that as part of my charge for today. The woman asked for the thing that was most important to her. She asked for what she had been dreaming of day and night. How do I get John the Baptist? The moment the opportunity came, she took it. But the point is that the girl had to be trained. Now, like I said, it's negative. On the positive side, we also have to be trained concerning what to ask God for. Many times people are there in prayer and prayer saying, God, even if God granted these things. Okay, let me give an example now. If you hear all my enemies die. Do you know it has no meaning? If they all died, it doesn't mean you make progress. You'll just be attending funeral after funeral. You won't go anywhere. If you pray, maybe you have a competitor in the market. Hey, let him die. He dies. You won't make progress. Somebody else will replace him who's more terrible than him in that business. A lot of things people are asking for. God said, even if I granted it, how will he help you? And that's what I keep on saying. Christians who are saying, you see, your enemies die. It's because you think that they are the reason. Of course, most of that didn't exist. But even if they existed, you just assume they are the reason why things are not working for you. And when you have finished killing them, things will still not work. Because if they were going to work, they would have worked in the presence of your enemies. Because progress is from God.
And he's not afraid of enemies when he wants to help you progress. Lots of people are asking for things that God said, see, even if I were to do this, how will he help you? You ask for money, plenty of money. But God says, what is the advantage of money in the hand of a fool when he does not know how to use to buy wisdom? Do you get my point? A lot of people are asking for things that are vain because they are not trained. They ask for something, they get it, but what comes with it, they don't like. And God says, sorry. It goes together. There is no... Okay, let me not... Yeah, even blessing. There is nothing on this earth that doesn't have something heavy attached to it. Just as an example. Okay, simple things. Two simple things. If you ask God for a big car, he didn't promise I'll give you money for fuel. It's another set of prayer points to fuel the car. So if you harass him long enough, he said, okay, take the motor. That's when you now realize that you can't fuel it. That all the money you have, 3 full tanks, and your whole month's salary is gone. An example. He said, Lord, I want a very big house. God said, okay, fine. Sure, you will maintain it. In a place like Enugu, cobwebs will drive you out of your own house. Ah, spiders, don't they harass you? I think we have more per capita spiders in Enugu than the rest of the world. I've never seen this number of spiders in my life. There are corners in my house that you need EDC ladder to reach to remove spider. I was passing today, as I was climbing this, I looked up at one corner. I said, I shall overcome. I'm sure everything has its own problems. Every single thing has its own problems. That is why we don't just jump at making, you know, reckless requests. We have to be trained by the Lord. We have to be trained. Someone will come to prayer. You first go to the Lord to go and ask him, what should I ask you for? That's part of it. And you train yourself to enjoy the things that are excellent. For example, before I ask God for money, ask him for peace of mind. Paul said, don't worry about anything. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. That is Philippians chapter 4. What did he say God will do for you? He will give you everything. No. From experience, he answered. What will God give you? The peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, this is where I'm going. Learn to value that peace. Small aside, never trade the peace that God has given you for anything. If God gives you peace, value it. Value it. Value it. Listen, I just want to drop this for us. Are you getting me? Now listen, though. Train yourself to appreciate the things that are excellent. Please, let me drop this. When I see Nigerians run up and down, Christians especially, and they say to me, there's no problem in this country. I say, okay, wait, listen. Please, again, you can go anywhere you like. Are you getting my point? After, was I born in Enugu? You see my birth certificate. It was given, signed by a reverend sister. To show you the time I was born, the date, not anywhere close to Enugu. I was born overseas, if you agree that Niger. Are you getting my point? But I moved down here one day, didn't I? Yes, I did. Okay, of course, I was born in that part of Nigeria. That's what I mean. But where I'm going is that, so people can move. But then, and please, that's like the first charge. I told you I was going to mention something along the line, and that's where I'm in now. If I feel like Holy Spirit, because 3 ways now, the thing has connected, so Holy Spirit wants me to say it. Okay? Every decision you make in life is your responsibility, even if God told you. It's still your responsibility. What I mean is this. If you say God said I should come to Enugu, it's not God that came to Enugu, it is you. And if God arrests you for coming to Enugu, you are the one that will serve in quote the sentence, or listen to this, or enjoy the blessing. You see what I mean in a moment? Even if the Holy Spirit leads you, you are held responsible for your decisions. What I'm saying is very critical. See, I can tell you all kinds of stories that the Lord is the one that said I should marry my wife. But God said, that's your problem. You are the one that will live with her, not me. And God said, I'm not coming to live in your house. I'm not going to eat the food she cooks. I'm not going to live in the house. That is, it's the two of you. What I'm saying, you'll get in a moment. For that reason, that's why I preached before about what I call own that decision. For that reason, it is important you make the right decisions. I'll say it again. And don't hang it on God said. Is it that God does not say, he says? I'm not saying he doesn't say. But again, what I've said many times, what he says is different from what you can hear. The fact that you say that God said only means that that was what you heard. I hope you're getting my point. Please, take a pause there. Let me get back to something I was saying before I went into that. I'll join everything together. If you're a bit confused, it will be clear in a moment. When I see people make decisions sometimes, that's why I told the fact that I moved over to Enugu. I wasn't born here. If I've moved around a lot in my life, I went to school in what is now Edo State. I went to Ekiti to go and do my internship. The NYC took me to Taraba State. Then residency took me to Lagos. The ministry brought me to Enugu. Let's put it like that. You get. So I've moved. Now what I'm talking about, appreciating things that are important, is this. Many times, people, when they are trying to make choices, you see how little they value some things that God has given them. I keep on giving parents and children's university as an example. Now, this is not about what I can afford or what I can't afford. Most of my children are going to university in Enugu. One has gone, has finished, he's doing his master's. Two of them are currently at university. One is waiting to enter by the end of this month to start school. All right, that will remain one. And all of them, I say, hey, go to Enugu here. All of them are going to school in Enugu. All apart from one, UNN. And if they go on strike, I said, when they finish, they will come back from strike. I left school long ago, 1991, all right? University. 89, I was at home for 5 months because of SAP riots. Eventually, we still finished. We thought that was the worst we'll ever find. Other riots, because before then, ASUU had never gone on strike to keep people at home for any length of time. ASUU strike, all kinds of things. I was talking to one of our brothers here, my first set of students when I came to Enugu. And he said he finished school 2 years later than he was supposed to because of strikes and, ASUU strike and riot and all of that. But he's been a graduate for over 20 years. That's what he and I were analyzing. And I weigh other things. Okay? Now, when I have to make choices for my children, that's where I'm going. Some things that some people weigh, I don't think it's heavy. That they will finish quickly doesn't mean anything. So they can learn better. So that's not true because this is modern adult education. People learn what they want to learn. And I can prove it to you, two-thirds of my classmates are scattered between UK and US. And we all trained in Nigeria. And they didn't get extra training. That was all they took abroad. And they were employed and they began residency. The same training. And they never lagged behind. And they hit the top in places. I have a lot of people that I know, top researchers. They all trained down here. And they were... Forget, don't come and lie to me as if, you know what I found out? If you don't know book, you know good notebook, anywhere. Nobody's cracking things to put inside your head. It's true. I teach students. Sometimes, attendance, I was supposed to take attendance. One day I told my class captain, I've told him many times, I said, I'm only obeying the rules because it's the rules. I said, I really don't care whether you come to class or not. If you can pass my exam without coming, try. I said, I don't really care. But if they say, take the attendance, I will give me the paper, I will sign, I'll take it, give a copy to the office and all of that. I said, but you want to hear the truth? If you can do this without coming to class, then the class is not necessary. That's my opinion. It's my opinion. You can disagree, but that's my opinion. Where I'm going with those things, I found that people can learn if they want to learn. It's whether they want to or they don't want to, especially at first degree level. That's my opinion. For that reason, I weigh some other things heavier than those things. What do you want to learn now? That between YouTube and ChatGPT and Meta AI, they will even use voice to tell you. Can you rewind your lecturer? You can rewind a YouTube video. You say something, go buy it again. You don't understand? You search until you find the one that will explain it. I'm just saying that I don't weigh some things as heavy as some people do. And the truth is that a lot of people, they lie. People lie a lot. They lie a lot. Somebody wants to emigrate, say, I'm going to school. I say, stop lying to me. There's nothing wrong with emigrating. Just say it. The school is your way. It's your road. Hey, it's okay now. Why must we be deceiving ourselves? The school is the road. It's okay. Please, get my point. It's okay. Once you start lying, then what you are doing is wrong. See, you see where I'm going? You know, I was telling you that God holds you responsible for the decisions. Drop all this God spoke to me thing. Not because he doesn't speak, but because you hear what you want to hear. Balaam is our example. One day, one girl wanted to marry. It's a joke I saw. All these TikTok videos. Put picture down. Two guys. This one is this one. This one is that one. Lord, these two men want to marry me. They are in the same church. Which one should I agree to marry? Then the picture of one, the richer one, the picture fell down. So she bent down and picked it up. I said, Lord, which one should I marry? Then an angel actually was the one that took the picture and threw it down. This time, the angel collected the picture and squeezed it and threw it down. They opened her eyes. The picture was on the ground and was squeezed. So she bent down, straightened it, ironed it straight, and said, Lord, which one do you want me to marry? The angel this time snapped the picture of the other guy, which she actually preferred deep inside her heart, and tore it. Then she opened her eyes. The picture was on the floor in pieces. Then she packed the picture, started arranging it, and looked for cellotape to put it together. Now the angel provoked. The angel got angry, brought out a gun, and released a shot into the air. So what nonsense is this? What rubbish? What does you want God to do now? I removed the picture of the guy we don't want. You collected it back. I threw it down, squeezed it, you straightened it. I tore it. That's why the angel released one shot into the head again, running away. It was funny, but that's the truth. That's how we are as human beings. We often pray until he says what we want. And my spirit will not always strive with man. After a while, God just gets tired. Okay. That's where you want it. Which is what happened to them. Our wives, what should we do? He said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. He said, but what if you come home one day, the woman throws hot water into the sky and it burns your scalp? Then the Lord says something. They say, what if, when they gave God a number of what ifs, painted so many bad scenarios for the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, come, tell them to write a certificate of divorce and let her go. So now you are talking. I didn't know this until Jesus addressed it much later. Because they now quoted it for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you don't understand. In the beginning, it was not so. Then why did Moses say so? Say, you wore God out with your stubbornness of heart. So he said, go ahead. Let heaven have some peace. That's why God said, it doesn't move me so much. Except the heart is purified, you can't make the right decisions. That's where I was going. You have to learn the right values. Please listen to me. I don't want to talk about will of God, no will of God now, even though it's the same thing. But I need to bring it down to how we can relate with it. To make the right decision is not possible unless you have inculcated the right values in many parameters. One of the greatest reasons people make wrong decisions is fear. What will happen tomorrow? I've seen people, of course, you know, you've seen them a lot of times. In this country, what is going on in this country? I said, wait, you are blessed. I happen to know you have one nice, beautiful duplex in this place. Yes. You have another one here. It's yours. But this is your business you run, and it's doing well. Look at your turnover. Every year, notice that you can do this. In fact, you took your wife and three kids the other day. You went abroad for holiday. Yes. From this business in this country, that's not making sense. Yes. And the same person will sell everything and start going from one shop to another in North America looking for work. You ask him why. Then he tells you he doesn't know where Nigeria is going.
Which of course, he also doesn't know where he is right now. He's going, but that fear has not been printed in his heart yet. It will soon come. Look, if you have that attitude, it's a matter of time. You can never settle. Fear is a spirit. After a while, the spirit has to walk on you again. Be driving you up and down. When people are afraid, they start making terrible decisions. Terrible decisions. And you want to hear something? God can't. Now, listen to me. I know my, is it preposition or conjunction? When I say cannot, which one? Is it my verb? Whatever, joining verb with adjunctial preposition, whatever. I'm choosing it correctly. When I say God cannot even correct the person, he can't lead in my right. Not because God lacks the ability, because the harder he speaks, the more difficult it is for that person to hear. And God is very careful because, you see, if I keep on telling you what you don't want to hear, after a while you become guilty of disobedience. It becomes transgression to you. So in his mercy, to mitigate your judgment, he'll go silent. So at least he has nothing to quote against you. So Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you. You can't bear them now. So I won't bother saying them. That's how life is. If you want to make the right decisions, you have to cure your fears. In the school of prayer, it's only with prayer. There's no other way. If you want to make the right decisions, you have to rearrange your value system. You know, I was saying so many things here and there. They are tying together now. The decision you finally make is yours. Why am I emphasizing on yours? The consequences are also yours. And there's something I found out about God. What I want to say now is not supposed to scare you. It's to warn you. If despite much admonitions and instructions and correction, you make a wrong decision, the consequences normally stay long before God handles them for you. Ah, no, it will be there for a long time. The consequences will attach to you for a long time. You see, there's a reason why, okay? I won't explain the details, but the point is that it's part of God's righteousness. Again, before I say further, let me say something. I don't know in spiritual things is a valid mitigating factor.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse to reduce judgment. However, I don't know doesn't work when you are supposed to know. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me explain. For example, God arranges for you now. So every Sunday morning, Pastor Kimote is teaching. Go and listen. Friday morning, Saturday morning, Pastor Bank is teaching. Go and listen. Sunday evening, Pastor Dami is teaching. Go and listen. And it so arranges it that you are free. At least 3 weekends in a month. So go and listen. Why he says it is because there are things you're supposed to learn. Now, an average person will learn it for maybe 3 months and they will have gotten the knowledge of the right values. 3 months, you start for the first 2-3 weeks. Then somebody entices you with a stupid thing like football. You go. Because they went and gave you big screen TV, 65-inch TV. Christmas, thank you. They give you full bouquet to watch everything. And those guys decided to be playing UEFA Cup at certain times, play Tiger Woods final at other times, and then you now decided. Now, like I said on Saturday, you are dealing with intelligent forces. It's a plan. Not a game of chance. It's a tempter. So, after a week or two, you stop. If I remember one young woman, I was still reminding my wife of it a few weeks ago. Lived near us years ago. Those early days when King Noah used to be where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name. She started coming. She came once, twice, and I still remember her face. Once I start teaching, she locks in like this. I won't look away until I finish teaching. I knew this girl was hearing the word. Ah! That Satan looked and said, what must I do to be saved? I still remember what was discussing a few weeks ago. You know what Satan did? Sent a man into her life. And the guy only came to deceive her. After he had taken her away from us, he disappeared. It's an interesting story. I told my wife, I said, look at how God gives people opportunities. This girl was here. The word was entering. And she lived near us. She would enter our account, come for Bible study. She would come by herself. The word, Satan said, yeah. This destiny that I had already destroyed, who's repairing it there? Now I bring one fine boy, come from Lagos. What the guy told her, he didn't tell her, I don't know. All I know is that one day, somebody came to their office and just said, like, don't let this boy deceive you. He's engaged to somebody in Lagos. That one came from Lagos, opened his mouth wide, embarrassed him in front of everybody. And that girl realized she had been wasting her time. Except that there's no talk. My wife didn't talk. She never came back. Shame. And she finally left town. I said, this is Satan. This is Satan. This is how Satan works. See, this life is an exchange. No, you're always exchanging something for something. There's nothing of value you will get that won't cost you something else. It's which one you value more. That's the issue. The kingdom of God is to be likened to a merchant who found a pearl of great price and went home, sold all he had, and did what? And bought it. Now, what's my message? He bought it from somebody who valued it less than he did. See, there was one that one man found buried. He bought the land. So that guy there did not know what was there. Let's assume. But this one, he saw the pearl. The stuff was in somebody's hand. They brought it out. He looked at it. How much? That guy said, difficult to sell. Let's use today's naira. Can't do anything less than 100 million. The guy said, He cleared his... He's a businessman. He cleared his... Nothing. We couldn't reach it. He had raised 45. Then somebody said, I can buy your house. How much? I gave you 56 million. The guy, he totaled it. Quickly sold the house. Told his wife, children, pack. Stay under this tree, I'm coming. That is, he understood what? The value. But the man selling it did not understand the value. It's your value system that matters in life. Back to the issue I was saying. So, 3 weeks, the guy stopped coming. Stopped going to church. So at the end of the evening, Sunday programs, he stopped. Holy Spirit said, what's up with this guy? Rewind the programs. Make sure that me teaches the same thing in another way over the next 3 months. Go and tell Okemote, I said, teach the same things you taught in the last 3 months using other words. Tell Banky, that's what I said. Of course, this man don't get to hear. They just say, Spirit, just say this. Then he drags him back again. Satan plots again, drag this guy away. Let me make it long story short. After a while, remember, my spirit will not always strive with man. So he stops. And so what he was supposed to learn, he doesn't learn. At the end of that year, having given him 4 opportunities, go and check scripture, it's 4. What everybody will have learned in 1, at the end of the 4th, he hasn't learned it. He's now treated like he knows it. He's treated like he knows it. That is, when they say, okay, what you have known will prevent you from selling that pearl. God will send a buyer. He will sell it to him. So that's his problem. I gave him 4 opportunities to learn not to sell. During that period, I kept all buyers that had enticing money away. But now, let everyone who cares go and tempt him to sell. Of course, he will look at the money. He will sell his destiny. Why? See, before, and then, another person who sold not knowing, God will have helped him recover it. But this one, no. You were supposed to know. The person who knows and still sells is one, is a problem. The person that was supposed to know, emphasis on supposed to, and did not know or does not know, is treated like he knew. Why? The opportunity to learn was given to you because you rejected knowledge. Therefore, I will also reject you from bringing my priest, he said to the people in Israel. We have to be careful we don't reject knowledge. So when we make decisions, at the end of the day, we are held responsible.
If you say you heard God, God won't say, you heard me. God will say, what you did, was it right or was it wrong? It was right. And I'll be blessed for it. I won't collect the blessing just because I'm the one that sent you. So the extent to which you supposedly heard is actually your blessing or your judgment. What I'm trying to say is that if your heart was pure enough, you'll have heard better. If you did not purify your heart enough to hear well, it's your problem. Listen, when you are going to see this life, destiny is always being traded. It's always being bidded for. People are selling every day. The greatness in front of you that God ordained you to enter into. I'm not talking about worldly standards now. If Satan has an idea, he will sell, he will buy it. If he has an idea, you know football? The way they trade, when is the trading season? You don't know. Where's Olugbenga? Huh? It's on now. See? Anyone that they think is good, they will buy. I'm sorry to say, that's all Satan is doing. He's going around buying. And I hope you know that buying is just with one thing till now. Which is what? It's money. It's whether you value this thing more. That's the issue. Destinies are still being bought every day. When you don't understand the value, your name is Esau, you will sell. Why did Esau sell? Or why did Esau not understand the value? The Bible called him a godless man. Listen, there's a way your life will be. You lack the ability to make sound choices. What am I saying today? Yeah? Listen. You can't, don't come and harass anybody. God said to me, it is you that said to yourself. Even if it is God, God will expect you to accept the responsibility. You are blessed for being able to hear and obey accordingly. People have spoken loud, God has spoken loud to people and they disobeyed him. So if you heard and you obeyed and you heard correctly, it's a blessing. If you heard and you were wrong, like Balaam, I hope you know Balaam finally, you see, there's death that is, you know, Balaam's death, it was only postponed though. He still died for that sin, for going. He still died for going. He went, he died for it. But I always say, he heard. I hope you know he heard God. Some of you who make noise about, I heard God, I heard God speak to me, I've heard people say, I know how to hear God, as if they would quarrel with you. Are you telling me I don't know how to hear God? It's your problem. I mean, I'm not quarreling with you. It doesn't impress me. If you say you heard God, you know the truth is that it doesn't move me. I remember when I was talking to somebody, he said, God said to me, I said, if you say that again. Yeah, seriously. I said, this conversation will be over. I'm talking to you like a senior brother. I'm going to help you with sound counsel. If you sit, open your mouth again and say to me, this was all God told me. I said, I'll end this conversation. I said, so let me assume the last thing you said to me, you didn't say it. Can we continue talking? He kept quiet. You come and harass me with God said to you. Do I look like the kind of person that can be harassed like that? One day, one brother said, you know how to handle this spiritual. I said, do you know what I'm dealing with spiritual people? Some of you now you see spirit. You see, when you see some of the things I do, which I never see. I grew up among spiritual people. I don't know how spiritual you want to be now that I've not seen your type before. I've seen spiritual people, they said, Prophet, I can't patch. Silence, sit down. God didn't see anything. I know some of you say, what gave you the right? If you've been the way I've been, you too will have the right. I've seen people prophesy things that they know ahead. They say, Pastor Dami, you mean you don't have a new car? No, you don't. And I'm your guest minister. Come. As I was getting ready, the Lord said to me, anybody wants to be blessed will give Pastor Dami a new car. I say, you interviewed him yesterday. Why are you now turning this thing to God said? What have I not seen? That's why I go. I tell you sometimes my wife and I will somewhere. Somebody will say, the Lord said, I will preach my wife. I say, he's lying. How do you know? I say, you know, you should know some things that God does not say. Just from reading your scriptures. Why am I going through that again? I know God speaks to people, though, but I don't know anybody that heard God clearer than Balaam. Yet what he heard directly from God was wrong. He heard it directly from God. And it was wrong. And what happened was simple. His heart had not been purged from the love of money. So there was nothing God will say. That money must come home. You don't understand. They came and dropped 20 million on the table. Come with us. Come and pray. And the man said, no, I cannot go unless God says I should go. So they went and told the Oga that sent them. They said, he can't come. And that one, knowing him very well, says the money. Send more powerful men. Make the money 40. 100 million. Make it round. They came around carrying the bag. Big up guys.
Oh, the king saw that. So
this one is for cola. They dropped 20 million for cola. Then if you come, here is 80 million. The guy said,
let me go and pray.
That was when he missed it. That he went to pray. There was one man of God I heard the story of. Somebody wanted to have a meeting in his city. A prophet. He said, you should please come for the meeting. That they have a proposal for him. That if he comes for the meeting, I've forgotten the exact amount now. But some money, plenty money. That for showing up for the meeting, whether he agrees to their proposal or not, this is the amount of money they will give him. Maybe something like, today's naira, like 10 million naira. Just look, Pastor came with it, come for this meeting. They're not preachers, some men. They want to discuss some things that have to do with the moving forward of advancement of some things. They say, just for coming, if you just agree that, just say yes, I will be there, this amount. In today's naira, like 10 million. That we have not yet discussed what we want you to do. Just to come. Not to come, just to say, yes, I shall come. This is the amount. Can I just advise you, if you're a man of God? Satan has more sense than that. If you take that one, you're gone. You're in. You're gone. They know what they are doing. They just want to get you onto their turf, where the climatic forces are strong. If you stay in your church, in your house, not too many spirits can come there. Come to their turf. Once you enter, they start walking. It starts with food. Yeah, no, seriously. Small aside. It's food. Give you food. Give you wine. They greet you. They treat you nicely. That's how it starts. You took the money. You ate the food. That's what they call communion. You went for communion service. What? It will take extra intercession to deliver you. Just don't go. Talk about Balaam. That was why Balaam was hearing things. He went back to go and pray. And once he came in to pray, God said, this one is lost. At that point, he was on a trajectory from where he would never return. Because he knew God enough to know that adding more to the money was not supposed to change God's mind. So those guys hooked on something in his soul that was there that was not supposed to be there. And they dragged him. The angel was going to kill him. But the Holy Spirit said, wait, let him prophesy for us one more time. He came there, he prophesied, which is what we quote every day now. There's no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. If you read New Living Translation, say no charm, no spell works against the people of God, something like that. Say God said, let him go and prophesy it. He did. But his love of money did not allow him to just live in peace. He still had to counsel Balak concerning what to do to entrap the people of Israel. And that was what began the problem of the Baal of Peor. See, what am I saying? If you want to make the right decisions in your life, consecrate yourself, your value systems. You have to learn to place values on things that are important and train your, see, people. It's training, no? Told you once, somebody asked me, invited me for something. You know, when somebody talks with a rich voice, the voice is rich. I know, I don't know what we have to do, please. What will it take? What is that telling you? What will it take? Would they mean money? Of course, I didn't ask for money. I said it was about time. It was difficult for me. Please now. You see, this is the kind of platform you should be on. I've heard the kind of things that you're saying. Now, it won't impress me now, but then it was impressive. It was quite a long time ago. This is about 10 years now. Okay, about 8 years, thereabout. And the kind of thing you're saying, I think this kind of platform, you know, the world needs to hear your voice. Listen. That's how Satan tempts people. That's what he was doing to Jesus Christ. And they gave me the lineup of those who will be there, who I will sit. See, pray to God that the godly ones of this earth will be your true heroes, not the rich ones. It's very important. Because it was like, this man is going to be there, this one's going to be there, this one's going to be there. You need to come and all of that. The pressure was much. Finally, my wife just said, after about a whole day of agonizing, my wife just said something simple. Because the woman that was talking to me, he said, if it's one poor pastor's wife that gave you this invitation, are we going to be having this kind of thinking and praying? I said to my wife, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Instantly, sent the message, saying, sorry, I can't come. For this, that, it was what my wife said. I said, wait, oh. This is the ethnic glory that was pushing me. I didn't know. I thought I was seriously considering serious matter. So my wife, God bless you. Where am I going? One of the reasons I made it easy was that you're a big person. God helped me. You won't move me. I have blocked rich people's number before. You're very well to do. I block this fellow. Block you. You won't even know why your chats are not dropping. Nothing. Stop harassing my life. Why not for money? Can you be sending me text message? I told you that once. One guy heard us on radio. After the story, I called. It was tall reverend. I answered the call. I said, wow. I heard your pastor on radio. Man, that he needs to put us on another radio station. That we should send somebody to his office. So, Thor Reverend answered him that, we are very sorry. We don't think we'll be able to do that. We are not based in your city, by the way. We live very far away. And the guy tried to explain. He didn't know where. That's the Reverend. He's a very funny guy. He didn't know where he answered him. He said, Oga, we have many people sponsoring us from all kinds of places. How many offices do you think we'll go to? The man said, what? He said, do you have to insult me? He said, it's not an insult. I mean, like, it's fact now. I mean, like, you know, this man was not trying to be insulting. He just like, why are you disturbing me? What do you think you want to do now we have not seen before? He didn't tell me all of these things. He didn't tell. Just told the man, I said, look. If you want to sponsor us, we will send you an account number. Pay the money there. And stop harassing our soul. When the father told me, I said, hey, Yusuf, next time, be nice. I'm not saying, everything you said was right, though. But you didn't have to tell the guy like that. Just tell the guy, say, please, if I tell pastor, he will be angry. Just leave it like that. One of our brothers now heard, he heard the name. We mentioned, he said it's good. I said, why? He said it's good for him. He said, this guy's father is one of the richest men in their state. Pastors line up in their homes. That is why it was okay for him to ask us to come to his house because he wants to do something. He didn't know the kind of human means that God had. In that area, I was trained by David Oyedepo. He would tell you that if I come to your house, God will put me out of ministry. Long ago, not now. I'm telling you about nothing less than 20 years ago. He said, somebody called him one day. I said, Pastor, Bishop, that God said I should give you or the ministry 2 million, not of today. He said that, can he send somebody to his office to collect it? Bishop asked him that, so God that told you to give, didn't give us our address, have you? He asked him, said the God that told you to give did not tell us where our office is. My friend, will you get out from there? No, that one had to apologize. So if you want to give, my friend, you know the way to the office. What kind of rubbish is that? Because you are giving money, I should send him to the office. Now that was where I learned. That's where I was brought up. These are the kind of things I heard. I'm telling you, this more than 20 years ago. So nobody will tell you he has ever had the privilege of telling us to come to his office to come and collect money. God knows that the day I do that, he has the right to put me out of ministry. These days, I don't even talk to anybody. Whatever it is, if I don't know you, you call me. You know I won't answer. Some of you have tried it before. You went and met somewhere, so get somebody. If I say, I know Pastor Frank. You say, you do. It's my guy. You show photo. They say, you might have to collect my number from him. Don't waste your time. If you call, I won't answer. If you send message, I will not reply. Even if you say, Pastor, I'm dying now, I say it's a lie because you came to talk to me that one. This guy. Those of you who are looking for church to go to, I've told you, go to Truth Assembly. And I know what I'm telling you. You know why? The guy not send you. So he will help you arrange your head correctly. Now one night, one woman sent message, say, Pastor, I want to commit suicide. I quest the phone, I make my friend leave me alone. The wife said, what if she's really serious? He said, people want to die, they leave suicide notes, they don't call people. He said, those want to die, they'll be writing notes, not calling me. The Lord is good. No, God taught me long ago through people like David Oyedepo and Co. And it's about, listen, it's about pricing the anointing. It's about putting the premium on it. I must treat the anointing with respect. I must treat it with dignity. If you manage to get that, look, I'll just call, okay, please, talk to this person. Say, hey, Pastor, what I want to give the ministry is $1 million. As God lives, I still won't call you back. I'll literally tell Yinka, that guy, if he calls you back, I said, don't call him back for any reason. If he really wants to give, let him call. Have you wired him the account number? Yes, I leave it there now. It's not after 2 days, I didn't get from you. Oh, God, we didn't hear from you. I will even tell you, say, I hope you understand that you drop the money in Kingdom World Ministries. It's not for me. Your money will be used to broadcast. The only time I'll be able to eat from is when we're doing co-workers meeting. I will chop my own meat pie as everybody is chopping. So if you think I will now say, I tell you one day, one of the places where we do broadcasting, we're saying, these are the people that, it was telling Inka, you have to be nice to the people who are. Inka comes and says, sit down. We're all serving God. Do you understand? That man said, you people are strange. He said, yes, I'm strange. My pastor is strange. We are serving God. We don't owe you anything more than brotherly affection. That's it. Because if we walk together, we'll become friends. So in that way, something personal has now come in. But it's not because you are holding pepper. God forbid. If you're a preacher, learn this thing. So. Learn it. Oh. Because if you don't, they will balam your life. Oh. Balaks are all over the place. And I hope you know your anointing works. Don't know whether I get my point. Balaam was not a joker. That was why Balak was willing to pay. Except that after a while, you'll be using that anointing to serve another purpose, which is not the advancement of the kingdom. You start talking to staff to increase productivity. And it will work. You motivate them. Hey, come, praise God. Amen. I see this company going forward as if that is what God said to come and do. Start prophet. Before you know, and then once you go to Dangote refinery, it works, does it. Otetola will call you. Next thing, you'll be rolling with the big boys. Meanwhile, you've lost your gift, you've lost your anointing, you've lost your purpose. And then when normal people now want you to come and talk to young people, you look at them and say, how much is the prophet offering? because you were eating with the people of Balak. Your value system, you have to iron it properly. You have to work on it. You have to tell yourself. See, and these are things you will watch, maybe movies, you will read stories and ask yourself, how will I have reacted? What does the scriptures, or what do the scriptures say about this? You tell yourself about it. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You have to say it again and again. Lord, deliver me from the error of Balaam. The godly ones in the land, they are my true heroes. Remember your guy who took a picture with Obiku and said, open door for the next year. Ask him. Is his neighbor in ministry? I'll be honest with you, I'm not lying to you. God is my witness. If you introduce me personally to Aliku Dangote today, I will never call him a second time. Unless I want to buy fuel. And since they sell down the road, there's no need. I don't have fuel tanker. The amount of fuel I buy at a go is the one that enters my car tank. And that tank is like 72 liters or so. So if you know people like that, I won't be talking to people like me. He sells 72 million liters at a go. Have I ever bought fuel up to 50 liters outside the car in my life? Now I'm now in Band A. I've not started my generator in like 8 months. Seriously. So what am I'm not lying to you. I won't call him. For what now? Say, Elijah, I just wanted to greet you. You should call me. You should greet me. I'm the prophet here. I'm the prophet here. And if you call and I don't answer, if you take offense, I will block you. And some people say, are you serious about this? Believe me, I am very serious about this. You don't understand the kind of person I am? I consider it a test, a temptation that's supposed to be resisted. I magnify my office. Oh. You see, this thing we are doing is the word of God. Oh. It's more precious than gold. It's very precious. Oh. Value system. Like I said, when people are making decisions, like take university as an example. He will say, you see, when you go to this place, they can tell you when you graduate 4 years before the graduation day. Okay, when COVID now came, what did they do? They were confounded. In Ukraine, what did they now do? Why are you just deceiving yourself? Okay, I don't know. Look, listen, when I entered University of Benin, I did not know the day I would graduate. But I still graduated. They will let me know. The day of the graduation. Do you get my point? After there are people who book tickets, say, so you can book your ticket for your child's graduation ahead. Have you ever heard of volcanic eruption that closed flights all over Europe? How many years ago? No plane could fly anywhere. All the booking you book were unbooked. Some of you even booked flights. Now Donald Trump took office. The airline called and said, oh boy, don't come. Some women who are pregnant, eh? They don't buy tickets. Donald Trump told us, your Pekin is not a citizen. he said that today. He said, citizen by his bed. It's not ending again. He said, it's not happening again. Remember, now suing him. Let's watch. Let me get Supreme Court. The guy said, look. You born doesn't make your child our own. You born on our soil. We're not. Yeah. Some people are looking at this child. Why didn't you come last week? They are angry with their unborn baby. And if it is, it's in my fault. when Joe Biden was president, you love him born. Yeah, the guy said effective in 30 days. Yeah, from next month. So sorry. People are like, I say, what is it? Look.
When I hear Christians talk sometimes, the kind of value they place on some mundane things, I marvel. For me, anyway, I thank God for the new American president. I thank God for his life. I really thank God. Look, some of you don't like him. I believe that, pray for him really, because there's a reason why I won't talk about that now, why you should. Well, this is the reason. Because of the testimony that he put forth. It's important. God wants to help such a person. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. But you notice something this man did. He said, in America, we will not forget our God. He said that loud like that. Somebody was praying and quoted him. He said, America bows to no other but God. That's what he said. And that guy, that black guy that prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, good. And when it was done, the president gave him a hug. Like, you prayed well. You can't say anything you like about what he did 30 years ago. This is what he's doing now. That concerns me. Where am I going? Thank God for his life. But for me, I value things like my child can go to school and have fellowship. That he's not ashamed. She's not ashamed in class to say, I'm a Christian. These are my reasons. And nobody thinks anything of it. It's not ashamed. It doesn't have cause for shame. For me, I would dash you 2-3 years of delay to have that. Some things are too precious. I want to say something once. When you hear Christians talk sometimes, say you wonder, do they really believe? Do they really believe? Put your values in order. You will make the right decisions all the time. It doesn't mean you make the decisions that make you money. I didn't say that. I said what? The right decisions. See, let me give one of the value things I'm talking about. That our guy, I think he has stopped. Maybe somebody has warned him. I went into his channel recently. I didn't see any bet anything inside it. Let's say he had done correct. That our guy, the one that said he lost $3 million last year. I said maybe he has gotten the message because I deliberately went and scanned the things was advertising. And I didn't see bet anything. I said, maybe he has gotten the message. Because the word has gone forth that you will continue to lose until you stop. How can God give you influence and clout and such national and international following amongst young people? And you will encourage them to be better. God said, every dime they lose, I'll collect back from you. It's a small aside, but where I'm going is that, do you know the concept of quick money? You should learn to dislike it. That you shouldn't want it. The concept, you know one of the things I've even noticed? If anybody gives you an idea about a strong and reliable, dependable investment, and you put money in it, it's not a sin, is it? No, there's no cash. Is it a sin? You want to hear the truth? God will make it fail because of you. It has to. Oh, yes, it will fail. It will fail. Yeah, it's going to. I've heard this thing before. Buy land, it always appreciates in value. It will be going normally, appreciating in value until you put your own. Because how many of my children are in there now? Say that like 8. They are projected how much they will make in 4-5 years, right? Say good. Say very good. How many pastors? Say, Lord, 5 of them are pastors. They say, okay, please, you need to bring in more pastors. So the angels will go out and go and recruit a lot of pastors. When you now come and say, Lord, now there are like 50 good Christians there, of which 35 are pastors. Say, okay, 35. Find me 4 more. Just add. Just 5 more. Make it 40. They go around recruit. Good. Some of you will now mistakenly go to church and be bragging. I know what God is going to do in my life. God! He'll be screaming because look at confidence in the flesh. You now start preaching gospel you never preached before. I don't need any of you in this ministry. Because you don't buy land. You bought like 10 plots. It's going to appreciate. You have, of course, some of your rich members have joined you. That is supposed to mature, hit it in that 5 years. In the fourth year, because of you, nothing else, nothing's wrong with the investment. It was okay. But there's one place where most of you pastors put money. They you know, say, I, Peter, mba, of, do solemnly swear to uphold the constitution and faithfully govern the affairs of Enugu State. You now say, Oga, see the place. When you see revocation, tomorrow is here. In the fourth year, they don't come prayer meeting. What about ya? Oh boy, ya. You go pray tire because they lie. You will send delegates. All the Anglican bishops, they are your friends. They will go to see the governor. Governor will tell them about one, overriding public interest. Two, where is this guy? You find one name to call your acquisition of the land, which was not right. It's God that rewrote it. It was right that time. No, it was right. It was right. It's one God just said, bring me the past. They brought him the past. He changed the past. Said, put it there. They filed it. Say, but Your Excellency, any compensation? Compensation for illegality? He said, but sir, it's not illegal. You bring some lawyer, they will show you that it was not right. He said, okay, anyway, let them just compensate because you're all men of God. Most of you that came now, you are men of God. Well, you had invested like 10 million. 20 million. Give each person 200,000. You're like, what? When you are sleeping at night, one angel will wake you up, say, see after me. All flesh is grass. God will kill the confidence you have in anything material. Like I said, was it on Saturday or last Tuesday? At that time, you get on your knees and thank him and worship him and say, Lord, this lesson is worth much more than the money I lost. You'll be thanking him. There was nothing wrong with the investment, though. What was just wrong was that you, child of God, put faith in it and you were sure on matters of the earth. Our God said, no, I can't allow that amount of faith and confidence to go into things that perish. I'm talking about your value system. You will learn things like that. Like now, if somebody comes and says, this thing makes money quickly, my soul detest the idea. I don't even listen to you. Today I walked into the office down this road. One big guy was manager down the road. So we said, Pastor Banky. I said, okay, how are you there now? Long time, my guy. You know, we greeted. He said, look at this thing he's trying to, you know, to introduce me to. So I shouldn't think this is where he's making his money. In my mind. So what concerns me with where you are making your money? Really? Okay, you're a bank manager. All right? I came to do normal transaction in your bank, you know, like maybe came to sign a paper, lodge a check or something. Where you are getting your money from? How does it concern? See, these are the things that make money for him. The guy showed me photocopies of checks, not today, more than 10 years ago. So this one, every month I get between 800,000 and 1.7 million. He dropped the first one, dropped the second one, he showed it to me. I said, oh, God, you know, say, this is business, Abby. You know, I don't do business, really. I said, well, maybe if you see my wife next time, he knows my wife. I said, maybe talk to her. I really don't. He said, no. You are the one that has the network to move this kind of thing forward. I looked at him, you see, sir, I said, see, when it comes to this buying and selling, I said, it's not really my thing. Thank you. He made one terrible mistake. Do you understand? The only thing, you are not even told me what it was.
You are telling me how much I will make. If I follow you, I'm saving mammon. Now, in case you think I didn't like 1 million naira, I liked it too. If God gave it to me, I will have collected. If you are not sure, just come and dash me 10 million. If I cry, then you are right. I'm wrong. The money was not my issue. It's more like, I came, you want to entice me? You know, some people don't fear God. Me, I'm afraid of God. One day I was angry about something. One angel slapped my car from the side. The dent is still there. And I told the Lord, I'm sorry. It's like, man, God's love this. Wham! I heard you! How did it manifest? Physically, one keke. One, as if the guy was drunk. Now, it's not I'm saying realize that he may have been drunk. I had right of way. My light was green. His own was red. And he kept on driving. I thought this guy, Onitsha South driver, I thought this guy will stop. He didn't stop. Last moment, he dawned on me that this guy is planning to broadside me. That hit me from the side. Ah! So I swerved. One keke had already taken the other side. So he ran into me. Whoa! And instantly, I told the Lord, I'm sorry. It was an angel. My friend, will you wake up? I knew what the issue was. Go see my car. You see the dent on the right fender. It's still there. I knew what the issue was. So I said, Lord, okay, I am sorry. I am sorry. So when they don't fear God, I don't get the... what's your plan? I mean, what's your plan for when next you fall sick? How are you planning to pray? Yeah. What's your plan? What's your plan for divine protection? What's your plan for long life? What's your plan for sanity? One of the things I've begged God in this life, you shouldn't disturb my mind. Hunger, fine, you can use that. But this mind, please let it see straight. No, really. I distaste the idea of having a confused mind. So what's your plan when the pressures of life will come and try to confuse your soul? Yeah, I fear God though. Told the guy that he said, bro, please leave it. Told my friend that came and said, Banky, there's this thing that you put your money will be going up like this. I said, bro. I said, yeah. To the glory of God, never lost a dime in all those schemes. I've seen pastors who advertise it from their pulpit. I have never lost a dime. All those who listen to me, they don't lose. So my sister, one day somebody called her and said, how come you never put... He said, no, pastor said, that's what she quotes for them. That you know, pastor said, that's I'm my other brother. Pastor said, that's what she quotes. One day, one of my relatives got involved in one of those schemes. My sister went and said, hey, you know what pastor said? You know, pastor said? And every dime that one put disappeared. He said, but I told you that pastor said. What's the issue? I'm not interested in quick money. Once you start that, you hit this one, by tomorrow you are going to be a millionaire. I switch off your channel. 6 things you will do, and you suddenly, God has raised me to a point where my soul detests the idea. My friend came and said, you see, Banky, this one, I put $5,000. My money is now $12,000. I said, bro, your money is now $12,000. Say yes. I said, good. Dollars. I said, you see, my name is Jonah. I told him like that. Say, Christian. I said, my name is Jonah. If I enter this boat, all of us will go down. I said, that's your money that's on, that's your graph. It will go down. So just be enjoying your money and leave me out of it. He said, this one's from America. It's my sister that introduced me. I said, okay. It's okay. I don't know what I told him, but I stuck in my mind. I said, Bernard Madoff is not from Okunanu. He's not from Ojuelegba. He's from America. He scammed everybody. $30-something billion. I said, bro, please. He said, I don't tell you. I told him, I don't hear you. Just leave me. I don't know whether it was a year or 2 years later, I found out that he was scammed. Every dime of that money disappeared. You see, when you don't give offering, that's how your money goes. Do you get my point? Yeah, I'm telling you. See, all this money you are not used to give offering, that's where it's going. I say, bro, I don't do ministry all this way. You never give me $500. You carry $5,000, give America. Not even a Bulgarian woman. We found out that I was a Bulgarian woman chopping the money. After she had collected like $2 billion, she vanished. Mostly from Africa and maybe
So Eastern Europe and parts of Asia. Do you know what? People say, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me anything. Holy Spirit didn't tell me anything.
Banky, that money shall vanish. If you put your money, it won't see it back. Thus says the Lord.
If you told me that God told you that, I won't believe you. So God doesn't go to that extent to deliver people from loss of money. He hardly does that. To come and meet you and say, hey, my son, don't put money. You will lose your money. You know why that doesn't worry him? What you think is loss in money to him is nothing. You lose ₦1,000,000, ₦500,000,000. He pops a finger like this. 3 times it's returned to you overnight. It doesn't bother him. So he won't come and be waking. Say, hey, don't invest. It's money. You will lose money. What is it? Is it not money? He'll give you back now. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to whisper to me. Just said, hate quick gain. And I said, yes, sir. That will guide you everywhere you go. Hate quick gain is a value system. The concept of quick gain, let your soul despise it. Let your soul despise it. Once it's quick gain, say, I don't want. Even if it's legitimate, say, it looks too quick, I don't want. Value system. That's how you make the right decisions. People are waiting for God to speak to them. Because even if I were to speak, I cannot override the system, the values in your heart. I can't. The things I will say to you that will be correct, your heart will twist it and it will be wrong. I've seen prophets misinterpret visions because of the wrong value system they had. However, remember, a man came to town, he prophesied. As he was prophesying, we were so excited. This vision he had of the Lord. Oh, and I knew him to be a credible person. And I was excited that this man has brought a word from heaven that will help us. Then he began to interpret the vision. I told my wife, what kind of thing is this? This interpretation is wrong. And guess what? It was wrong. Events showed later that it was wrong. God expected him to bring correction. He brought encouragement because of a wrong value system. I told you this story I read from Oral Roberts. I think Still Doing the Impossible, one of those books, not very certain now, so that you won't go and read a book that's not the correct one. But Oral Roberts wrote Still Doing the Impossible, and it's a good book. If it's the one, then in it he told the story of how David Wilkerson came to the faith complex, the faith towers, where they had the faith medical center. Wilkerson came in and told him, shut it down. That the Lord said, I should tell you to shut this thing down. You see, for those who don't understand, you think that everything that have material value impresses God. It doesn't. I still believe it. The concept of building the temple that David built, of course, he didn't build it. It was Solomon that built it. But David started to gather the money. I look back now, it was never God's idea. God was not interested in that temple. It's just the same way that they wouldn't relax. It was okay with the tabernacle, the tent. It was okay with it. But the people were like agitated. They had prospered. How can God be in? So David said, I must do something for God. God said, listen, the house that I want, you can't build it. There are many interpretations that I don't want to start one now. When he said that your hand is full of blood, you can look at it one way. His flesh and blood can't build it. He said, your son will build it. What did we interpret it as? Solomon. We found out later it was not Solomon. The son of David was referring to was Jesus Christ. Go and read Hebrews chapter 1. He explained it there. I will be a father unto him. He will be a son unto me. Say, which of the angels did he ever say that to? I was talking about Jesus. One day I went and checked. He was quoting what God said to David. Where am I going with the story?
Doesn't impress God. It was why God didn't have any compunction breaking it. He used to break it as a habit. They annoy him, he'll break it. That's what he used to do. He'll break it and burn it down. Then Nehemiah and Ezra, they will go back and rebuild it. Is it Zechariah the prophesy? Who is it that saw this prophet? God said, you see, people don't know how to interpret prophecy. The latter house I'm building, the glory of the latter house that shall be greater than that of the former, is not this house. Because if that was the case, it was never fulfilled. Then finally, one day, Herod wanted to do something too for God. Herod had it rebuilt. And God said, they have come again. So he said, what do we do? He said, they will so annoy us. So Jesus came and said, Peter said, man, see stone. See carving or more. This is house. Jesus took a look at it. I said, not one stone will be left standing on top of another. The wailing wall that they go to till now in Jerusalem is a foundation, not the temple itself. It's the under. The word of Jesus was fulfilled. I heard, didn't personally confirm, that a rumor, God sent a rumor out to the Romans that there's gold buried in the walls. So they were looking for gold. They scattered everything to fulfill the word of the Lord that said not one stone will be left on top of another. So when you see the wailing wall is the foundation, not the temple itself. God has no problem with breaking houses. When I see us celebrate what we are building, I say, hey, guys, just enjoy it. There's nothing to celebrate in it. God is not impressed. You know what I'm talking about is that value system. David Wilkerson came, told Oral Roberts. The Lord said, shut it down. Robert said, what? Such a beautiful complex? He said, yes, the Lord said you should shut it down. So he took David Wilkerson around, took him to the words, took him to the theaters, took him to everywhere to see what was going on, trying to impress the man. After everything, you know, there's Balaam, but there's David Wilkerson. After everything, Bro Oral said, so what do you think? David Wilkerson was impressed. He said, well, I've seen it's really nice place, but thus says the Lord, shut it down. Of course, Barabbas could not shut it down. It was too difficult. David Wilkerson left, and the place shut down by itself. Barabbas had to finally one day shut it down. When he didn't have a choice anymore, they had gone bankrupt. The place was sold. And people turned it to common offices to fulfill the word of the Lord that came by the mouth of his servant, David Wilkerson. Why was the man not swayed? Value. It's brick. It's brick, it's glass, it's mortar, it's steel. What else do you have in there? It's not the house of God. The man was not impressed. The decadence that the world is experiencing now, I have the video. The man prophesied it long ago. Wilkerson. Prophesied it long ago. Why could he prophesy clearly? He was not impressed with what impresses the rest of us. You want to make the right decisions? You have to tell yourself what impresses me. Read from scriptures what should impress you. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Repeat that into yourself until you believe it. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. God is looking for Christians that you give them job offers. It takes them a while to get to the pay. They are still checking, what will I be doing? Who will I be helping? What will I be learning? They are checking, what will I be doing? Who will I be serving? What will I be learning? Those things are paramount in their eyes. And I say, oh, all right, this is a nice job. So if you don't ask how much you pay, oh yes, okay, so how much do they pay? Person is primarily eager, who will I be serving? What will I be doing with which I will be serving people? And here, what will I be learning? Those are the things that are paramount. Like I said, why do Christians do business? Those are the values we are talking about. Establish righteousness. To be a blessing. To make a good name for the Lord. Very important. That you know God is described by us. If they want to say who is God, they have to attach his name to somebody. Because everybody claims to be creator. Say God, that one of Abraham. That one that Isaac feared. The one that led Jacob about. Oh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What am I going to say? So it's the name that we bear, that is the aroma that our names carry, is important to us because by us he's been described. Value system. Listen, people of God, if we hone the right values, doing the right things, making the right choices, making the right decisions, not be a problem for God. Now, for us, God can lead us easily. Like I say all the time, it's not about anything. Have I prayed enough? What's the Spirit saying? The Spirit said, no, leave that in. What are your values like? Who are your true heroes? You know, David talked about that. He said, the godly ones in the land, they are my true heroes. My soul delights in them. Like Charles Ludo was saying, when he was speaking, I think it's a Christian convention or community stuff last week. So why? He said, it's enough. That even the church is celebrating people that have money that they can't explain where the money came from. He said, that is why the young people steal. Yeah, Charles Ludo was rebuking even the church last week. Tell, look, if you don't stop this, because he's there fighting kidnapping, fighting this one now, you know, the man is on fire. So he had to talk to the elders and to the church especially. Say, guys, if you don't stop celebrating people that have money that you can't explain, the young ones will continue to steal. David said, the godly ones of the land, they are my true heroes in whom my soul delights. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Please, what we began last week, which I'd hope we'll continue today, we'll continue the next time, talking about the seven dedications of the thirsty soul, in which we are talking about the fact that our heart must pant after God more than ever before. Our heart must pant after God more than ever before. But today, let's say, Lord, teach me your right values. Lord, teach me your ways. Reveal truth to me, Father. It's an important prayer. Say, Lord, reveal truth to me so that I may walk in a manner worthy of you, so I may please you in all respects. It's very important. Pray that prayer. Say, Father, reveal truth to me. I want to know what to hold dear. Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. That is, there are things that people hold dear. Paul said, it's not important. Personal survival is not important. What's important to me is that I may accomplish that for which I was apprehended by God. God apprehended you for something. That's most important to you. How do I achieve it? How do I even discover it? Why did Jacob money to get that birthright? It was important to him. Say, Father God, teach me that which is important. Yeah, pray it like that. Lord, teach me what is important. Lord, teach me what is important. There are so many small things people don't know that they're important. Like keeping your promises, giving back money that somebody gave you that you promised to give back. No, small things like that. Those little foxes that spoil the vine. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, teach me that which is important.